Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coca-Cola HBC's conference call for the 2015 first quarter trading update. We have with us Mr. Dimitri Lloyd, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Michalis Imellos, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Beshak Kotler, Investor Relations Director. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After a brief update on 2015 first quarter trading, we will open the call to questions. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad at any time and wait until your name is announced. I must also advise that this conference is being recorded today, Friday the 15th of May, 2015. I now pass the floor to one of your speakers, Ms. Beshak Kotler. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's first quarter 2015 trading update. I'm joined today by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitri Lloyd, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imellos. Before we get started, I'd like to make a few quick points. Firstly, let me remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our trading update press release, which we published this morning. Secondly, the growth rates we will refer to on this call are calculated on a reported basis. The four additional selling days we had in the quarter compared to the prior year quarter account for approximately 6 percentage points of the growth figures we quote. I'd also like to point out that we have modified the structure of this call in line with our move from full quarterly reporting to a trading update. Therefore, we will not make a slide presentation today. Instead, you will hear brief opening remarks from Dimitri before we open the floor to your questions, which Dimitri and Michalis will take together. Let me now turn the call over to Dimitri.
Thank you, Beshak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. I am pleased to report that we have started the year with a solid quarter. The plans we put in place to stabilize volumes in Europe and return to growth, and the pricing initiatives we implemented to mitigate the adverse impact of emerging market currencies have been effective. While there is some uncertainty ahead of us in the remaining of the year, we are encouraged by the results the business has delivered in the quarter. Overall, our group volumes grew by 7.2% in the quarter. Even without the benefit of the additional selling days, this compares well with a 4% decline we reported in the prior year quarter. Nigeria, Poland, Romania, Hungary, and the Czech Republic were very good performers. Currency-neutral net sales revenue per case was stable for the group, although there were varying dynamics from segment to segment, which I will come to in a minute. Overall, we achieved a 1.7% net sales revenue growth compared to prior year quarter after an approximately 5% adverse currency impact on group revenue. Let me now take you through the segment drivers and performance. Established market volumes have improved from the trends we saw in 2014, with a 3.4% growth compared to a 7.5% decline in the prior year. That said, knowing that the quarter benefited from the earlier timing of Easter holidays, we need to work harder to stabilize volumes in the segment. We have seen a deterioration in currency-neutral net sales revenue per case in the segment. These arose from unfavorable mix and our efforts to maintain the affordability of our products in a deflationary environment. This wasn't entirely unexpected and was more than offset by the strong Swiss franc and sterling. Overall, we achieved 5% growth in net sales revenue in established markets. Now, I'm very proud of the turnaround our teams executed in the developing markets, achieving 14% volume growth in the quarter. For several quarters, we have been updating you on our strategy in the organized trade in Poland and the Czech Republic. We believe this was the right thing to do, and we are now growing our business together with our customers from a healthier base. We have seen deflationary pressures in developing markets as well, which in combination with the impact of unfavorable pack and channel mix resulted in a 2.7% decline in currency-neutral revenue per case. Net sales revenue grew by 11.4% in the quarter, mainly as a result of volume growth. Emerging markets volume increased by 7.4% in the quarter, cycling a stable performance in the prior year period. Within the segment, there were different country dynamics, the most important of which are the following. In Russia, volumes were broadly stable, cycling a very strong prior year quarter. Let me draw your attention again to the fact that on like-for-like terms, this equates to a mid-single-digit decline we expected in the country. In sparkling beverages, we faced a difficult trading environment with the overall market declining by high single digits. In juice, the strong performance of Dobry and the addition of Moya Semia helped us outperform the market significantly. This was both because of incremental volumes and also due to the advantages our broader portfolio offering gives us in the market. These are the results of very strong plans we have been implementing in Russia, and there is some more excitement to come for the Russian consumer, starting with the launch of Coke Zero by the end of May. Moving on to Nigeria, volumes increased by high teens, helped only in part by easy comparatives in the prior year quarter. It's worth noting that our successful Share a Coke campaign, additional PET capacity, and improved product availability were instrumental in this very good performance across all categories and continue to support our expectation for the remainder of the year. During the quarter, we implemented pricing initiatives in certain emerging markets to mitigate the impact of significant adverse currency movements. This delivered 4.1% improvement in currency-neutral net sales revenue per case. Inevitably, however, the impact of currency movements was significant in the segment. As a result, net sales revenue declined by 4.6%. Now allow me to give you some highlights from category performance before I close. We started the year with strong plans to reverse the decline we saw in sparkling beverages last year. Our plans in the organized trade, including stronger marketing initiatives, resulted in high single-digit volume growth with Nigeria, Poland, Romania, Hungary, and the Czech Republic all contributing meaningfully. Moreover, we gained volume share in 17 out of our 25 measured markets in the quarter. Some of these gains are quite material, which is very pleasing. The juice category grew by high teens with good contributions from Nigeria and our juice brands Kapi Palpi, Moya Semia, and Dobry. Specifically in Russia, excluding Moya Semia, the juice business grew by 11%, our 13th quarter of volume growth, 10 of those at double-digit growth rates. Looking at the remainder of the year, there is some uncertainty ahead of us related to volatility in currencies and oil prices, as well as political concerns in certain countries. Having said that, in February, we set out the initiatives we could deploy to mitigate these potential headwinds, and we have been successful so far in pulling these levers. Also, we have been executing well against our plans in established and developing markets where we aim to return our business to growth. In summary, we are encouraged by the solid start of the year. Michalis and I will now be happy to take your question with the assistance of the operator. Operator.
Thank you. Before I move to the first question, if you would like to ask a question, it's star one on your keypad. And our first question is from the line of Stam Draziotis. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Could I start by asking how big the impact of Easter was? I mean, you mentioned that 6% of the volume growth was accounted for by the extra selling days. How much was Easter, please? My second question has to do with your organic price mix. I know you've already guided for lower growth in FX neutral revenue per case in 2015 versus 2014, but I'm just wondering whether the flat price mix at group level is something we should expect for the remainder of the year, please. And last question would be on FX. I understand this is a trading update, but given the significant movement in the price of the ruble since your last results in February, could you give us an update regarding your estimate of the negative FX impact for the full year, please?
On your first question with regards to Easter, it's a bit less than 1%. So the 4 days, a bit less than 6%, and Easter, a bit less than 1%. With that, underline, this is the second quarter after Q4 that we have been growing. With regards to your second question, the revenue per case, I would like to start by saying that Q1 is not an indication for the year. That's a small quarter where we have seen both the Catholic and the Orthodox Easter being in this quarter. And usually in Easter, we have more multi-serve products and multi-packs of multi-serve, obviously affecting the revenue per case. With this in mind, we reiterate that we will grow the FX neutral revenue per case. And as we said back in February, we will grow at a lower pace than what we have seen in 2014. Now, I will pass the floor to Michalis to cover your FX question.
Yes, hi, Stan. Now, at the time of the full year results in February, we gave some guidance around the expected full year impact. And based on the spot rate of the ruble at the time, which was around 75, we estimated that the total impact on the P&L would be around 200 million. Today, as you said, with the improved spot rate in the ruble, which is around 58 at the moment against the euro, we estimate on a full year basis a negative FX impact of about 140 million euros.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just to say a couple of things, because obviously this guides to immediately to a 60 million euro reduced heat from the 200 to the 140. First of all, we all appreciate that this is not realized yet, because it assumes that this 58 ruble to euro rate, which is the spot rate at the moment, will remain throughout the remainder of the year. And clearly the summer months are the most critical in determining the final impact for the year. We also said back in February, we described that there were 4 levers which would mitigate the 200 million euro negative impact that we were estimating at the time. And we explained that we would be able to flex those levers in accordance with how Forex would progress during the year. So now that we have right now an updated situation, we will also flex those levers. So, for example, price increases in the countries whose currencies have been devaluing sharply, these pricing needs are now moderating, obviously. The partial recovery of the oil price, which is actually what is leading to this ruble rate improvement, at the same time is reducing the expected benefits to input costs. As you can imagine, resin and also fuel costs, which are particularly important in Nigeria. The intensity of the self-help actions, we said that we would be moderating those if the FX was to improve, and this is actually the case. And finally, with the easing of this full year impact, we have more room to support top line growth through additional promo activity wherever we deem that is necessary, in whatever market we feel that it is necessary. So while we are flexing all these levers, we expect that most of the 60 million euros reduced hit in the full year will be offset by this flexing of these levers. So net-net, we do expect that there will be some benefit flowing to the bottom line based on these updated assumptions, not all of it. It's difficult to quantify it at this point because there are, as you can imagine, many moving parts. But once again, all this will depend on whether the FX rates, and mainly the ruble, will remain at the current levels throughout the year, and in particular, the developments in the seasonally important summer months.
That makes sense. Thank you very much. And just a follow up. I presume that your guidance regarding FX neutral input cost per case down in the high single digits remains unchanged. Is that correct?
At this point in time, yes, it remains unchanged, with the only proviso around the resin prices. Okay, because that's the only moving part there. All the rest we are practically hedged.
Sure.
The other commodities there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Charles Peak. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, couple of questions, please. It looks as though constant currency sales were up 6.7%. Can you give the figure, please, adjusted for Easter and the four extra selling days? And also the like-for-like volume decline adjusted for the extra selling days and the early Easter in the established region, please. And is it possible to give a flavour as to what Nigeria was like on a like-for-like adjusted basis, given that the SAP disruption effect did feature in Q1 of last year? And finally, on the FX issue, I appreciate you don't give EBIT data any longer, but would it be possible to give any sort of clue as to what sort of impact you've seen in the first quarter from FX, translational and transactional?
Okay, let me take your volume questions. So, first of all, for the group, the four trading days is a bit below.
It was revenue, actually. It was revenue. Revenues plus 6.7% at constant currency.
So, what? Sorry, apologies.
I was trying to gauge what the underlying revenue is on a like-for-like basis, allowing for the early Easter and the extra four selling days.
Well, that doesn't change. The underlying revenue doesn't change. You are talking about now revenue per case or revenue overall?
Overall revenue.
It's exactly the same. That's why I referred also to volume. It's 6%. So eventually, translating the volume to revenue, the 4 days plus the Easter is more or less a bit less than 6% and a bit less than 1%. So if you add those two, that reflects also to the revenue.
Okay, thanks.
Now, going to your established, again, here your established, this is a volume question, if I understand correctly.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, the established reported grew by 3.4%. So applying the same rule, with less than 6% on the trading and less than 1% on the Catholic Easter, that is a low to mid single digit decline. And looking at that and looking last year, what we have seen and what is a point of encouragement is that the rate of decline is improving. So going now to Nigeria, Nigeria grew by high teens. And we are cycling, as you pointed out correctly, a low single-digit decline versus last year. So even if you take out the low single-digit decline and the four selling days, obviously we have a very strong underlying growth in Nigeria, which is double-digit.
And on your FX question, so in the first quarter, the negative impact was around 18 million euros. Clearly, this is, as we have said many times, quarter one is not representative because it's a relatively small quarter, and in particular, the months of January and February are very small, so it's March really that impacts this number. And because in March we did have a relative strength of some of the important currencies, I would say that the vast majority of this 18 million was transactional, not translational.
Right. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Edward Munday. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. Two questions. First of all, I was wondering whether you're able to comment on trading into the second quarter, given Q1's, you know, got a fair amount of noise within it. And secondly, on your revenue per case, I think you mentioned in your opening remarks that you expect an improvement in revenue per case. So are you able to provide a bit more color around that, in particular some of the headwinds on pack and channel mix that you faced in the first quarter?
Morning, Ed. Now, in April, trading obviously was impacted by the phasing of Easter, and that's established and developing, but this was expected. So overall, we are still on course with our plans for the year, and that's a year of growth. Now, on your second question, that has to do with the revenue per case FX neutral, a couple of elements there to give you a bit more color. Definitely the growth this year will be driven from emerging, and within emerging from the countries that have adverse currency. Now here, take into consideration what Michal is referred to on the development, especially of the ruble, this will adjust the revenue per case growth on emerging, but definitely emerging will be a segment that will drive the growth. Moving to established and developing, here what we have seen overall is a deflationary environment, and in this deflationary environment, we are working consistently with our OBBVC execution, while at the same time addressing affordability. So with this in mind, and contingent to inflation, so moving from deflation to inflation in established and developing, this will drive any potential growth on the revenue per case in established and developing.
Thank you. And just to follow up on your emerging division, in Russia, I think, you know, the brewers have indicated that they've taken pricing about high single digit in the first quarter. Are you able to quantify what pricing you've taken in Russia and whether you plan to take more pricing for the remainder of the year?
Ed, we have taken a high single digits pricing in Russia, and as it stands right now, we don't have plans for additional pricing. But we need to follow closely the developments of currency.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Andrew Holland. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So when we're adjusting for Easter and for the four extra selling days, as I look at the business as a whole, your volumes, depending on what exactly close to six and close to one means, your volumes are flat overall. The current market expectation for the full year is for a slight decline in volumes, to be precise, 0.4%, I think. Do you think that expectation is possibly a bit too cautious given your performance so far this year? That's the first question. The second question is just sequentially, I'm just looking at established markets, which seem to be perking up a bit in Q4 in terms of volumes, and now the volumes have gone negative again, even though your currency neutral net sales revenue per case is down. Can you give any sort of reassurance that you're more optimistic about established market performance?
Andrew, on your first question, yes, in Q1, net-net, we have seen a growth in volume. So if you take the trading, four trading days and Catholic Easter, the underlying net debt is positive. So we are welcoming a second quarter of positive volume performance. On the second part of your question, yes, we believe it's a bit cautious. Now, moving to established, what we have seen is a decline underlying. Again, I would like to reiterate that is an improvement, a considerable improvement from the high single-digit decline last year. This is mainly driven also from the market, and I will pick Greece, Austria, and Italy as the markets overall that have been affecting this decline. And for the rest of the year, we reiterate that we are working to conclude the year with a stable performance overall for established.
Okay, and just as a follow-up, can you give us a clue on what's happening to your immediate consumption package types, particularly in established markets?
In Q1, this has been also affected quite a bit from Easter. And I'm saying that because in Easter, usually, we have quite a bit of multi-serve and, more importantly, multi-packs of multi-serve. So these have affected a relatively small quarter with the multi-packs growing faster than single serves.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from the line of Andrea Pistacchi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions, please. The first one, comparing to February, your comments and tone seem to me a bit more confident, a bit more optimistic. So more, not hugely, but definitely more confident. So more specifically, in what markets do you feel a bit more positive than you were 3 months ago? And I don't know if Russia may be one of these. You'd suggested that you expected Russia could be down about mid-single digit this year. Now, against the most difficult comp of the year, I think you said that underlying you were down mid-single digit. So are things panning out there clearly probably not as bad as you thought? And how does it feel on the ground there with the consumer? Is there any sense at all that things may be bottoming out? And then lastly, please, on Poland and Czech, which have been difficult for you for a number of years. Q1, very strong. Of course, we can't read too much into that because of the comps and that. But from an underlying point of view, you think we're turning the corner in these two markets?
Okay, let me start with overall. Overall, we reiterate what we have said in February, that we are working for a positive volume year and giving a bit more color, having eventually the established stabilizing, the developing growing, and the total group growing. So with this in mind, Q1 is a small quarter. Definitely we are encouraged, and we said that it's in line with our expectation. Now, going to Russia, still very challenging environment, and we don't, at this point of time, we don't believe that we will see a material difference for the rest of the year. We said that underlying is as per expectation for Q1, mid-single digits. And we expect that eventually this is where we will see overall the year around mid-single digit. And we said that also we have very strong plans for the rest of the year, coping also with the difficult outside environment. Now, moving to Poland and the Czech Republic, very happy. And very happy that our strategy that we have focusing is really paying dividend. And this is something that we will also see for the rest of the quarters. And we do expect that this year both markets and overall developing will be growing and will be growing pretty well. So that's overall what we see with regards to the volume.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, press star one on your telephone keypad now. Okay, and we have a follow-up question from the line of Charles Pick. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, just two questions, please. Can you please clarify how far out the hedging applies for the raw material situation? And secondly, you've mentioned in the past that you would introduce the Monster brand into Russia as soon as possible. Is there a definite date yet, please?
There is no definite date yet. We are expecting the closing of the deal between Monster and the Coca-Cola company. And as you know, we are with Monster in 12 of our markets. And we are working for the rest of the markets. Obviously, Russia is one of the markets. Let me turn to Michalis for the first part of the question.
Yeah, as we were saying earlier, practically, on all commodities with the exception of resin, we are almost fully hedged. Certainly on EU sugar, world sugar as well, metal more than 80%, aluminium I mean, more than 80%, and juices more than 90%. Resin, clearly it's the one that, you know, we, at this point in time, I would say, including the actuals that have run up to this point, up to and including April, we are about 40% covered, let's say, including the actuals. So this is what remains open for the remainder of the year.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from the line of Edward Monday. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking the follow-up. Just coming back to revenue per case for the full year. If I understand you right, we're not looking at further price increases in Russia, yet the positive revenue per case momentum for the full year is going to come from the emerging markets. So do you plan to take further pricing in Nigeria, Romania? I was wondering whether you could provide a bit more color around that. And second question is around the positive impact from operating leverage in the developing markets, where it looks like volumes are going to have, you know, a much better year. I was wondering whether you might be able to quantify that.
On the first part, Ed, yes. On the rest of the emerging overall, we do have plans for additional pricing. So eventually, that's why we reiterate that the growth on the revenue per case FX neutral will be driven from emerging. Let me pass to Michalis.
Yeah, so clearly with developing, progressing very well in terms of the volume growth, we do expect some leverage. On the flip side, this is volume that will come primarily from the organized trade. So this is another factor which sort of reduces the impact of the positive leverage. We don't provide a specific number. It will depend very much on also the specific markets in, within developing that it comes from.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up from the line of Andrew Holland. Please go ahead.
Yes, on a slightly different subject, your peer at CCE, John Brock, has been quite outspoken recently talking about the possible merits into the Coke system of a single European bottler. Now, that can only happen by bringing about some kind of combination between CCE and CCH. Do you share his view that there are merits to the Coke system from such a combination?
Andrew, we have a very long and successful history of running established, developing and emerging markets together. And as I have also personally shared with you, we feel very blessed with the territories we have. And our business model relies on this balance between established and emerging markets. And obviously, we discussed with the Coca-Cola company very recently, and we have renewed the bottling agreements for all of our territories for another 10 years. So I think this kind of gives you a strong indication of where we stand.
Okay, thank you. That is indeed clear.
Yeah, definitely. It's always unfortunate. And, you know, when you have a...
Okay, thank you. And we have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand you back to Dimitri Lois to conclude. Thank you.
Thank you, operator. And I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitated a good discussion around our first quarter performance. Over the last few years, we have set in motion a number of important strategic initiatives, which we believe they leave us in good shape to successfully respond to the challenges, the marketplace, and also to capture the growth ahead. In a volatile external environment, we continue to focus on the elements we can control, becoming stronger, leaner, and more efficient. We have a very clear strategy, and we know that when executed with excellence, it works. Our main objectives are winning at the point of sale every day and in every occasion, growing currency neutral revenue per case consistently while continue to address affordability, cost leadership in every aspect of our business as we work on improving efficiencies and optimizing our cost base, and finally focusing on working capital improvement and continuing to generate strong free cash flow. Thank you and look forward to speaking with you soon. Thank you, operator.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.
Please hold the line for the conference host to join the conference or a customer services representative. Hold the line for the conference host to join the conference or a customer services representative. Hold the line for the conference host to join the conference or a customer services representative. Hold the line for the conference host to join the conference or a customer services representative.